Amen, amen. First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. My gift's better than your gift. No, my gift's better than your gift. It's the same Spirit. Right? Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So, my gift's no better than yours, your gift's no better than mine, if we're all doing it for the benefit and the profit and the edification of the whole body. How many of you are members of the body of Christ? Sure. Sure, you're a member, then we all need to minister one to another, just like my right hand ministers to my big toe, or my left hand, or if I have a sliver, one hand ministers to pull that out of the body, and one hand ministers to put food in the mouth, and the mouth ministers to chew the food and admit it to your health and strength. So we all have our part in the body of Christ if we are members. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, with everybody. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. This passage lists, as is well known, the nine gifts of the Spirit. And we know there are nine fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, we have a list of the nine gifts of the Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Not as I will, not as the pastor will, not as dad or mom will, but as he will. He has placed you in the church where he wants you. He has given you the gift that he wants you to have, and he wants you to use it, not withhold it, to the edification, to the strengthening, to the comfort of the body of Christ. And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. The interpretation of tongues. Well, have you ever heard a complaint that that interpretation wasn't of God? You've probably gone away from a service yourself when there were tongues interpretation, wondering if that was of God or not. And so one person said that one time, and I asked how they came to that conclusion, and they said, well, I timed it. I've heard so many tongues interpretation, I timed it. And you've heard me say this before, but I want to go over it again to make sure it's clear in everybody's mind. I timed it, and the message in tongues took 5 seconds. And the interpretation took 25 seconds or whatever. Well, I thought about that, and I thought about it, and then I came across that word pantokrator, and you all know that. Have you ever heard the Greek word pantokrator? How many have? Most of you in this church have, because I have used it freely. Now, there are 4 syllables, pantokrator. 4 syllables in the word pantokrator. But the definition of the word has 20 syllables in it. 20 syllables in it. The Lord God Almighty always has everything under his perfect control. 20 syllables if you count syllables the way I do. Okay, so the English equivalent takes around 5 times as long to say. So if you had a message in tongues for 5 minutes, you could have an interpretation for 25 minutes. And it could be of God. Something going off and on here? Okay. Okay. Now, how many know the Bible says that he that prophesieth is greater than he that speaketh with tongues? He that prophesieth is greater than he that speaketh with tongues. Well, let's talk about that for just a minute. Interpretation of tongues makes the gift of tongues equal to the gift of prophecy. Well, why speak in tongues then? Why not just prophesy? Or why not just give the interpretation without the tongues? Ask God. He's the one that gave it. Ask God why tongues is the sign for receiving the Holy Ghost. Ask God. You'd think that we were to blame or we got the credit or something. No, that's God's choice, but I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So 1 Corinthians 14:4 and 5 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." So help yourself. Speak in tongues all you can, because Apostle Paul said, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. I speak with tongues more than any of you in the church." And he took pride in that. I mean, he was happy about that, because he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself, the Bible says. So if you think you need edifying, and I know you do, just like I do, well then talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. We Pentecostals are known for that. That's one of our trademarks, talking in tongues. And we ought to do it. We ought to take advantage of it. Okay, let's take 5 minutes out right now and talk in tongues. You don't think you can do it, do you? You think that's sacrilegious or irreligious or something. Just Pastor Tamer told us to talk in tongues. Well, somebody tell me to prophesy. I will. You tell me to prophesy and I will. Jesus is coming. And my prophecy will come true. And we'll talk about that a little later on, more in detail. Okay, so he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So, speak in tongues to yourself when we're at the altar, pre-service prayer, post-service prayer, private devotion. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues in your closet. Speak in tongues in your car. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. God gave us this gift of the Holy Ghost, and along with it comes the ease of speaking in tongues, especially when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Do it. Do it. The devil can't intercept your prayers when you pray in tongues. He doesn't know what in the world you're talking about. I don't think he does. I love praying in tongues. Boy, I mean, you got the devil on your back, just pray in tongues. Talk in tongues. And leave him out of it. Does the Bible say anywhere that he understands you're speaking in tongues? Doesn't say he doesn't either, does it? Okay, so, but Paul says when you are in a public church service, use your gifts of the Spirit not to exalt yourself, but to edify the whole church. So whatever we do, we need to do all things unto edification of the whole body, and not just try to draw attention to ourselves, but actually get in the Spirit and follow the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. The Bible does record instances where people receive the Holy Ghost without any mention of tongues. Boy, and the Baptists in a few other churches, they'll really capitalize on that. I have talked with many of them. Well, look at here now, they say here, they didn't talk in tongues in Acts 8 when the apostles were at Jerusalem and heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. See there, Pastor Tamber? They received the Holy Ghost down there in Samaria, and they didn't speak with tongues. It doesn't say a word about them speaking with tongues. But then I asked them a question. I say, will you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8, which says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I read on and I said, see there, it doesn't say that Christ died on a cross. So he must have not died on a cross, right? Oh, no, he died on a cross. Well, how can you prove to me that he died on a cross? Well, the Bible says that elsewhere. And then I say, the Bible says elsewhere that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And I said to these people, you got to go back to the beginning. When you talk about Christ dying, and it doesn't mention a cross, or when I talk about Christ dying, and it doesn't mention a cross in the reference that I refer to, or the scripture that I refer to, then I'm... You got to go back to the beginning. You got to go back to Calvary. That's where it all happened. That's where he died. He didn't die of a heart attack. He didn't die of a overdose. He didn't die of a sword through his heart. No. He didn't die. He died nailed to a cross. He died by crucifixion. Is that right? Well, then whenever you read about the Holy Ghost in the New Testament, you're reading about just as for granted you take Calvary for Jesus' death, you take speaking in tongues for the Holy Ghost. That's where the church world's gone wrong. That's where they've left Pentecost. They've gone wrong. They say, oh, Christ died for our sins. I say, well, prove to me he died on a cross. Well, then they'll read it. Well, then I'll read that when you got the Holy Ghost, you spoke in tongues. Right? Hey, that's just common sense. Praise the Lord. I like it. Amen. Praise God, praise God. So the answer, Acts 11, 1 through 17. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. See, the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen upon Gentiles. And so this is the circumcision. That's the Jews only now. Saying, now these are apostles and these are early church, Holy Ghost filled, Jesus' name baptized men and women. Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. I mean, this man was raised a Jew. And from his childhood up, he had never, never had a pork chop or a pork steak. Or bacon. He had never had any of these things. He said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. You talk about living up to his church's rules. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. It doesn't have to say they spoke in tongues every time they received the Holy Ghost. Because Peter is saying here, it fell on us when he's making his defense to his brethren. It fell on them just like it did on us at the beginning. And they spoke in tongues, and so did the household of Cornelius. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that's in Matthew, that's in Mark, that's in Luke, that's in John, that's in Acts. Praise the Lord. It must be pretty important to be in all four Gospels and then start off the book of Acts the same way. John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, some other churches or doctrines will try to make you believe that when John the Baptist said you'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that that was some other experience. No, it wasn't. It was the same experience, because he said that, as on us at the beginning, then remembered I. Then it hit me. Then my mind woke up and I said, that's right, that's right. John indeed baptized with water, Jesus said, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Same thing. Praise the Lord. They spoke in tongues. John the Baptist, when he talked about that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, he was talking about that experience of being baptized with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, the like gift. I don't know. I think some other churches want some other gift that's unlike what we got. I like the like gift. Amen. As he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? What was I that I could withstand God? I don't know what people think, whether they're Pentecostal or all the other churches that fight against Pentecost. I don't know what they think, that they can withstand God. This is God's word. This is God's plan. This is God's gift, and God distributes it according to his will. Amen. Well, then in Acts 10, we go back to the real story now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because it on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. You want to know if somebody's got the Holy Ghost? They will speak with other tongues. Oh, we don't do that in our church. We have the gift of love, or we have the gift of joy, or our proof is, oh, we have the gift of this or the gift of that. Tongues is the sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. It is absolutely emphasized in the Scripture. Okay? While Peter yet, let's see, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, is baptism necessary? Is baptism still necessary? Does receiving the Holy Ghost before you're baptized void the necessity of being baptized in Jesus' name? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And oh, when he taught these wonderful truths and these wonderful doctrines, and they weren't left out of these wonderful gifts of God and spiritual things, they prayed him to stay. Don't leave. Stay. Tarry with us certain days. Praise the Lord. So folks, wait on your ministry. Wait on your ministry. For I say through the, this is Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. You know, we have pulpit ministry, and we have pew ministry, and we have unnoticed ministries. Sure we do. And woe unto that man that says, I want a ministry where I am seen. I'm not going to minister to anybody or any. I'm not going to minister to the body if I'm just an old kidney. Nobody sees my kidney. I want to be the nose or the mouth or the eye or the skin or the hair. I want to be seen, you know. But we have pulpit ministries, and we have pew ministries, and we have these unnoticed ministries, and all are vitally important, because we are a body. We are a body. Let's just be faithful. And I've said this before, but I've heard some people say, I'm not a pew warmer. I'm not a bench warmer. Use me or lose me. Well, what they're really saying is, I'm quite important, or I love to be seen. honestly, folks, I thank God for all the pew warmers we can get. I do. I just thank God for them all, and I thank God for all the big toes and the little toes and all the index fingers and the little fingers and the ring finger and the thumb and every. I just thank God for the body of Jesus Christ. I think it's absolutely a fantastic creation. Amen. And I thank God for unnoticed ministries, those humble people that are not afraid to get their hands dirty, cleaning up after the rest of us, and those that are not afraid to get a little exercise in their ministry, doing something for the Lord, for the church, His body. Amen. What would we do without these good people to clean, help clean the church or keep the church clean? What would we do without them? You wouldn't want to come here and walk over banana peelings and apple cores and walk on gum spit out and not cleaned up. You wouldn't want to do that. No, so we thank God for these people that clean the church. In fact, who knows? They might just be have the highest calling of all. Those that volunteer to help clean the church, they vacuum, they mop, they dust, they fix, they repair, they shovel snow, they lock up the church. The man who maintains our lawns, making them a conversation for visitors and for passersby. And I've heard that. I get those comments and compliments on our beautiful lawn. And the women who help in so many areas. And by the way, thanks for the kitchen work you did, all of you. And those who volunteer their time at New Hope Christian School to keep the school in the black. And those men and women who pray for the church. And those unnoticed ministries or ministers who are out there teaching home Bible studies to win the lost. Praise the Lord. So we have a body, and that's what the nine gifts of the Spirit is all about. To one is given, to another is given, to another is given this. And then we have gifts of the Spirit. We have singing specials, playing piano, organ, keyboard. Yet we're all one body, and we all flow together and work together. Amen. We had a young lady in our church here. She got saved here. She moved away. I don't even know what state she's in now, but she moved away. But anyway, years ago, probably in the 70s, one night she really got free in the Spirit during a certain Wednesday p.m. prayer meeting. And she spoke in tongues very loudly. And there was no interpretation. She got discouraged, got up from her knees and walked out and left. Embarrassed. At the next church service, she asked me about it. She says, "Was that the Lord or was that the devil?" Now, if that happens to you in tongues, interpretation of prophecy or something, and there's practically no response or no response, and you're embarrassed, and you walk out and you think it over, but you do come back to church, and so we have a talk, and you ask me, "Was it the Lord or was that the devil?" Well, we need to know those things, don't we? We need to know if it was the Lord, if it was the devil. But there's a third party there too, you know. You don't have to blame it on the Lord glorify the Lord or blame it on the devil. There's a third party, and that's the one here. You know? Self, the person. So, anyway, we talked those things over, and I said, "When you were speaking in tongues, did you feel like killing somebody?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, the devil comes to kill." So if you weren't thinking of killing anybody, or you weren't hating anybody at the time, or you weren't thinking of some sin you were going to commit, that wasn't of the devil. It wasn't of the devil. What were you thinking of? You were in a prayer meeting. You were glorifying the Lord. Why, sure, it was of the Lord, or it was your own exuberance. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with speaking in tongues loudly? You know, we're in a prayer meeting, after all. Okay. So what makes you think the devil had anything to do with it? And her next question was, "Why did this happen to me?" I said, "Isn't the Lord good? He let it happen to you." He was preparing you for use in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, how's that? He first had to show you where this seemingly uncontrollable outburst of tongues came from. Hear me now. I said, he had to show you where this seemingly uncontrollable outburst of tongues came from. Now, he's going to give you control over it for use in the church service for edifying the body. Somebody got a Bible? Open up to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 4 for me. So I said to her, he had to first show you where this seemingly uncontrollable outburst of tongues came from. Now, you should know that that's from the Lord. So if that's from the Lord, then he was just experiencing you in the use of the gift of tongues. And then you have more to learn and learn and learn as you go on. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Okay, Ezekiel, I don't know where he was. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe it says, maybe it doesn't, but we don't need to know that. We just need to know that he wasn't there prophesying before the children of Israel when God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to this people and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. So you might wonder how somebody can say, thus saith the Lord, when they're giving an interpretation or prophecy. And you might be reluctant to be used in those gifts of the Spirit that almost call on you to say, thus saith the Lord. But I'll explain that to you, I hope to your satisfaction, in a few minutes. But my point right now is that you do have control. Remember now, interpretation makes tongues equal to prophecy, right? We read that? Did we read that? Okay, we read that. Speaking in tongues and interpreting it makes tongues interpretation equal to prophecy, because everybody's edified, everybody can understand with their brain, with their mind, okay? So, you, Ezekiel, I want you to go and say to them, thus saith the Lord. And so Ezekiel goes in the kitchen, he packs a bag of food, and he starts out on his journey, and he goes over there to Israel, and he stands before them and says, thus saith the Lord. Then he tells them what God told him to say. That's okay. That's what the Bible says. So it's not as mysterious as a lot of people think it is. It's not as mysterious as a lot of people think it is. You know what it is? It's the moving of the Holy Ghost. You got to be moved by the Holy Ghost. I was brought up in Pentecost where everything was just what should I say? The gifts of the Spirit, it seemed like, were exalted above the Word of God. That is wrong. Absolutely wrong. The Word of God. There is nothing exalted above the Word of God. Absolutely nothing, right? Amen. Amen. So I ask a question. Are the gifts of the Spirit under the control of the believer? My answer is yes. Let me tell you why I answer that way. We believe that with possible rare exceptions, the recipient of a gift has complete control of his faculties. It is true that on occasions, while receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost or some special revelation, a person, while receiving the baptism or some special revelation, has been so lost in the Spirit that he may not be aware of what is going on about him. I'm sure of that. I am positive of that. But during public ministry, the speaker, even while deep in the Spirit, in almost all cases, knows what he is doing and what he is saying. Maybe not when you're speaking in tongues, but when you're interpreting your own language. Now, if he chooses, he can cease speaking in tongues or prophesying. Of course, when the Spirit is upon him to do these things, why would he cease? He will obey the Lord, but nevertheless, what he is doing is under his control, his own control. Okay, Paul bears this out when he says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't tell me that you just got to talk in tongues and interrupt somebody else, and interrupt a sermon, interrupt a special song or whatever, you know, and everybody's supposed to stop and listen to you speak in tongues, even if it is motivated by the Holy Ghost. Do you follow me? How many of you are following me? Okay. So, he says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You know, I'd rather have a sword that was subject to me. Anybody get that? I would rather have a sharp two-edged sword that was subject to me than one that just turned loose anytime it felt like it. Hello? Okay. So he instructs the church to prophesy one by one. But I feel it. And to let everything be done by course to avoid confusion. See, Paul is teaching the church how to avoid confusion. When everybody is so excited, exuberant, and maybe full of the Holy Ghost that they all just want to go at the same time. Well, that's what we have the altar call for. We can all go at the same time. Amen. Then he says in 1 Corinthians 14:28, if there is no interpreter, let the one who speaks in the unknown tongue be silent. If there's no interpreter present, he says, don't talk in tongues. Then he says this very wisely. He said, no, pray that you may interpret. So when you speak in tongues, you will have the interpretation. You know, it's easy to speak in tongues. It's a whole lot harder to interpret. Hello? It takes a gift. I'm not done yet. All these instructions that I'm reading here in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 14, indicate that the gifts of the Spirit are subject to the recipient of the gift, to the prophets, in other words. The Spirit does not force anyone to manifest a gift. I have literally seen myself, and I don't want to get super anything here, but in the other building, in the stone building, I have seen a cloud just come down, and it didn't say anything, but it was almost like it read a message in tongues. And I would see it go and just hover over somebody. And they were just wanting to, but not bold enough to, I guess. Not yielding. And there's nothing to brag about when you don't yield. Let me tell you, it's nothing to brag about when you don't yield. You should be repentant when God wants to use you and you don't let him. Okay. So, and it lingered and lingered. And then it went over to somebody else. Boom! A message in tongues. Just like that. And then I saw the cloud go, just a little cloud, just like my fist, just a little cloud like that. And went over to somebody else, almost like it said on it, and the interpretation. Boom! And the person gave the interpretation. That was exciting, folks. That was exciting for me. It gave me such confidence in people and in the gifts of the Spirit and in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'm not kidding you now. I mean, these are wonderful, wonderful times that we have in the Lord. Okay, we took a course on the gifts of the Spirit in this church. How many of you remember taking it? Okay, several of you, yes. And it was from the Berean School of the Bible, the Assemblies of God class, Bible College, because we didn't have anything in the UPC. In fact, I wasn't even in the UPC then. So, but this was Donald G. we used as a textbook. And he was an old timer. And I'm going to quote from him. "There is a mistaken idea quite prevalent that in the exercise of a spiritual gift, the believer is practically forced by the Holy Spirit, almost in spite of the human will. This is never so when God is the source of inspiration to either utterance or action. He always leaves the freedom of the human will entirely unimpaired. The manifestation of the Spirit can be quenched. On the other hand, the impulses of the Holy Spirit can be yielded to so readily and intelligently that there can be an instant and beautiful exercise." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then between chapter 12 and 14, there's chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." So speaking in tongues without a life behind it doesn't create any spirituality in you. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Can you imagine how we'd all fall at the feet of somebody who moved Mount Tom over to, from Birch Street over to Carson Park? Wow, we better worship him, or we better listen to him. He doesn't say that. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not..." I thought that was charity. I thought giving all my goods, bestowing all my goods to feed the poor and giving my body to be burned. Man, if that's not charity, what is? He'll tell us what it is in just a minute. "And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." See, you can bestow all your goods and curse God. You can bestow all your goods and lose your temper. You can bestow all your goods to feed the poor and hate people. That's not it, folks. That's not it. "Charity suffereth long and is kind." Kind. Look at somebody and say, "Be kind." Promise me. Okay. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself." It doesn't brag. "Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I like that chapter, and I'm glad it's there. And it's wedged right between chapter 12 and 14, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So we have to govern the gifts of the Spirit by love. Amen. Okay, just a little extra here that I have. Regarding tongues and interpretation, it was 1986, so... it wasn't you, okay? But so-and-so gave a message in tongues, and two people began to interpret it at the same time. Surely they could hear each other, I would think. And one of them prevailed. I'll just tell you this, not slighting anybody, but it was a man and a woman, and the woman prevailed. Right or wrong, she prevailed. Then the man wrote me a letter. He said, "Dear Pastor, I don't quite understand what happened tonight. I felt a strong anointing of the Spirit and a witness of the Spirit for that interpretation, so I yielded to it and heard someone else. I stopped. Perhaps I wasn't quite in sync with the Spirit, but I felt a godly confidence that I was. I need instruction on this incident. I didn't feel confident enough to yield to him until then. Below is the written interpretation. This is what he had, what the Lord showed him to give. In the church of the living God, you will not find voiceless worship. Neither will you find the standards of this world, but the holy standards of the living God whom ye serve. You will feel the presence of my Spirit, but my Spirit is life, for I am a living God which inhabits the praise of his people. In Jesus' name, signed by the one. So, I had my work cut out for me to answer these two people and keep peace, right? And we did. But actually, the Lord was good. I had an interpretation too. When the message in tongues was given, I got an interpretation. And so it made it easy for me to judge. And my interpretation went right along with the man's interpretation, and I don't know the woman's interpretation to the tongues. It might have been better. But anyway, we certainly made peace and had a good time. And everybody was good friends. And that's the way to do it. That's the way to be. Now, I got another little thing here I wanted to talk to you about. And that was a missionary to Mongolia that stayed at the Tanberg residence, Ing and Clara Tanberg, my folks, on 715 Chippewa Street, many, many years ago, in the 30s, maybe even in the 20s. I was born in 28, so I remember her very well in the 30s, and maybe even in the early 40s, but especially in the 30s. And she was a missionary to Mongolia, and she was a marvelous Christian, a marvelous, wonderful person, just a real, real Christian. And so, it was told to me that she had the gift of interpretation, but had never, never been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Never, never been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Never spoken other tongues in her life. But she had the gift of interpretation. Somebody could speak in tongues, and she would interpret it. Thus saith the Lord. She would interpret it. But she had never spoken in tongues in her life. Well, what are you going to say? What would you say? I'll tell you what I said. This was years later, after I had received the Holy Ghost. But it blew some people away, especially those who didn't have a pastor to help them, give them solid Bible teaching, really. So what did I say? They confronted me, these anti-tongues, anti-baptism of the Holy Ghost people. The word got to them because we circulated among them for a while. And they said, "What do you say about that?" And I said, "I don't believe it." Wasn't that simple? I hope you don't believe it. Because it's the same Spirit we read in 1 Corinthians 12. It's the same Spirit. Body says, we are obligated to believe the Word of God and the Word of God only. And we've got a written copy of the Word of God. And we can read it for ourselves and we can find out what it says. And I don't need some missionary or some nice person to tell me that they have something that God says they don't have. Am I being judgmental? No, I am not being judgmental. I am not being a judge. The Word of God judges it. Let the Word of God arise up above it all. Folks, amen. Get that Bible down in your heart. Get it in your brains. fill yourself with it. Saturate yourself with it. I mean, just know your word. Know the word of God. Know your Bible. Know that it is written. Well, do you want to read it again? Let's read it again. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one Spirit. How many spirits are there? One. And, oh, you know something, folks? We have such power locked up inside of us. If we would ever learn to yield to that power, oh, wow. What about an automobile with a 455 cubic inch engine and all modified and man, just listen to that engine. Just think of that, all that power. And so you call all your friends over and you say, lift the hood, and you list, just step on the gas, or pull that thing, and you know, and you just race that engine. Man, that thing's got power. How fast will it go? Well, I don't know. I never had it out of the garage. Never had it out of the garage. You know? And we got the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Some of us never had it out of our hearts. We don't know what we got. We just listen to the thing. We go to the altar and talk in tongues. And we have a wonderful time listening to that beautiful engine. We got that power in us. You shall receive power after that the is come upon you. Oh, if we just knew, and we weren't afraid to get our little automobile dirty by mingling with those awful heathen. Huh? Oh, saints of God, let's use it. Let's use it. Praise the Lord. And it's usable in so many different areas in different ways. Amen. Right now I should either close or go another hour. But we can do that another hour, another time. I'm not finished, so okay, I had a rally one time in 1985. The preacher, in the course of his remarks, as he was explaining how that God rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired or exhausted, but to accommodate our understanding, he told about a tongues and interpretation that said, I am the Lord. Times are hard. I get so tired myself, I can hardly make it. Now, don't you laugh or you'll be considered a judge. Don't you judge that. I mean, it might be the Lord. No, it might not be the Lord. It is not the Lord. Because the Scripture says, he that keepeth Israel doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. So if you have a tongues and interpretation or a prophecy that says anything other than the Word of God says, judge it. Judge it. Judge it. That's why the Bible says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Brother Frank Warren, I told you this. I have a prophecy for your wife, Nola Warren. May I have your permission? Brother Warren and I are sitting there on a couple of chairs out in the foyer of Revival Temple in San Antonio, Texas. And Brother Warren had legs crossed, you know, and he just said, go ahead, brother. Brother Tanberg and I will judge it. I like that. I like that. So, do I have time to tell you why then the gifts of the Spirit? Why then tongues and interpretation and prophecy? Why then, if everything has to be in the Scripture and you have a Bible full of Scripture, why not just read your Bible and get your answers from the Bible? Why don't I ask you a question? How many read your Bible through? Now another question. How many of you remember everything you read? Not me. I don't remember everything I've read in the Bible. I don't have the Bible memorized. Anybody here have the Bible memorized? Well, let me just give you one possibility of the reason for tongues interpretation and the gifts of the Spirit. It's for comfort, is it not? Isn't that one of the things that the Scripture's for comfort? Okay, so let's say that I am under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and I stand here, and the Spirit is moving, and somebody is grieving terribly. And the Spirit of the Lord comes on me, and I say, be comforted, and I say maybe some scriptures and things, and I say, thus saith the Lord. No. And that person starts to brighten up and receives strength and receives comfort and edification. Why? They didn't have it all memorized, did they? But the Holy Ghost can point you right to the Scripture, right to the Word of God that your brother in Christ over there that you don't even know is in the church building can bring that message to him. That's through the Spirit. That is through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And maybe somebody's got another answer for that. That's fine. Now myself, talking about judging, I said this is what I mean by about tongues interpretation needing to be judged. The Bible says prove all things. Everything needs to be judged by the Word of God. Politicians, Bush, Gore, they all need to be judged by the Word of God. Right? Gillespie, Cole, they all need to be judged by the Word of God. You read the newspaper or listen to your radio, it needs to be judged by the Word of God. Don't swallow everything you hear on the radio. Don't believe everything you read in the newspaper. No way. Judge the newspaper by the Word of God. Judge all prophecies. Judge all tongues interpretation by the Word of God. That doesn't make you bigger and better than that, because if it says, thus saith the Lord, you're under great obligation. That doesn't make you bigger or better because you're the judge than the person who was used of the Lord, who yielded to the Lord and gave the message. Heavens no. Heavens no. And judge not lest you be judged. Be careful in your judgment. But the big thing is, I judge all my own actions and my own thoughts, my own philosophies, my own beliefs by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. We should too. Extremes. No messages and tongues and interpretation. That's an extreme. So some people say, no, I don't want messages and tongues interpretation in my church. Some pastors have said that. That's been going on for years. Too many problems with it. So we just discourage tongues, prophecy, and interpretation. Somebody's too much wildfire, and another preacher came to his church and said, you got enough wet blankets here to put out any fire. But the Bible says, let all things be done. Somebody said, let all things be done decently and in order. To which Paul says, let all things be done. You know? So, I'm missing something there. And then another extreme. All tongues and interpretation is God speaking. Because it is anointed by the Holy Ghost, it is equal in authority to Holy Scripture. And I say to that, whoops, you cannot add to the Scriptures. Well, if that is in God speaking, how come, listen to this, kind of got blessed with a thought here. I think I did. If that's not God speaking, how come the speaker says, "Thus saith the Lord"? I'll tell you why. Because the speaker is anointed or unctionized with the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost confines what he gives the speaker to the Holy Bible, which literally is, "Thus saith the Lord." So feel free when you're quoting scripture or when you're in the scripture to say, "Thus saith the Lord." I've said it many times. I won't back off from anybody on that. Shall we stand? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Anybody want to come and pray? You feel free to come and pray. Amen. This altar is open for those who want to let the car out of the garage.